closer by him, and sometimes he may be referring to them, and other times he's calling out to the whole crowd. That's verse 7. And as he's teaching, some guy interrupts him, which is really strange. Somebody's going to interrupt Jesus. But he's got a major issue going on, and it has to do with inheritance. Verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" Jesus is the judge, right? And he said to them, "Take care and be at your guard against all greed or covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable. Wherever Jesus was heading, this guy has shifted what Jesus is going to be talking about now and addressing. Verse 16, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." So I have a real problem. And he said, "I'll do this. I'll tear down my present barns and I'm going to build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not for God." Not for God. That then brings us to this sustained thread where Jesus is going to talk about the things that bring worry to us. He's going to address it at three very deep levels. Verse 22, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what will you put on your clothes. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his bread and the span of his life? If that you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the limits, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, in all his glory, what's the grass or a way to clothe the clothes. If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you in the rain? Not see what you are to do or where it is raining, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world have been saved, and your Father knows that you will. Instead, sell your possessions, provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, for the treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth will destroy. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Right. Lord, holy word, we believe it's true and inspired that we work through the men who wrote these things down, but it's your word. Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at what's the meaning of this story. So, sometimes we follow, people have to follow a flow of interpretation. And then, illustration. And then application. Since those are three basic parts that different pastors have used. So, let's just do this discussion of the story. Spend a little while looking. As I said, Jesus is talking to these huge crowds outside the building in Galilee. Thousands of people are listening to that. The passage says that they were stepping on each other, and on each other. I was with this family. We were dividing the inheritance of this family. Mom and dad had died. And everything was divided except one frying pan. And that frying pan had special memory for the meals that were made in the by the mom.
God feeds them. The point is, how much more valuable
lilies. This is sort of thing that is a normal thing that these people just take for granted as we do, and he's using those as object lessons for to understand high things about who we are. And he's talking about this kind of sunflower that grows in an empty lot with the weeds that goes on the side of the road and get maybe through the asphalt and becomes too big. Then, but they did have rocks, the Roman rose that Alexander the Great started to spread throughout the Roman Empire, and these kinds of flowers would grow up through those. And he says, look at these flowers over here, how they're growing. They don't work, they don't spin, they yarn, what they're clothed in. They don't make any effort to look pretty, but I'm telling you, even South in all his glory, he wasn't as beautiful as any of these. So, God clothed him for us to feel like that, which is alive today and tomorrow. So you can come down to deliver the fire and make food. How much more do you want to clothe him? You have such a good life. There's just a sport in this. It doesn't feel so much that you feel it from inside. It's what you're living. Jesus describes that, that in our heart, that driven, obsessive preoccupation with money and things. And he says, don't see what you're going to do, even what you're going to see, even what you're going to drink. Don't be worried. Of course, you should have jobs, you should all make money. But what is important to get is you can look at the object of your money. Then he says something interesting. The nation, all the nations who are under other gods, the nations of the world are all seeking those kinds of things. You're a different nation who are discerning. You're to be holy instead of money. That's what I set you apart with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't live like these people and do what Father told you in these things. He's not blind. But seek instead something which trains. It tells you what to seek. Not just no, no, no. It tells you one thing to seek. You know what that is? What does Jesus tell us to seek? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, what? Will be given to you. God says, don't live for the one thing everybody else is living for and losing it. I'm going to give you something better. And along the way, I'm going to take care of you financially and everything you need. In case there's any doubt, it's going to make you for something better. He says, don't be afraid of why. Did you know that this is the only place in the whole Bible where you have a prophet in the whole Bible where it talks where that word is used of the word of why? That means that it's a vivid picture of a flock of small flock of sheep, but the shepherd knows them and buy a house. How can we ever afford to have children? There's all these more pieces of work, and they're wonderful. It's all this sounds good. Even when I have another one, after another being built, I have to decide. I paid everything off, there's not much left. And now I have to go for it to worry. In my budget, there's always a big account. one, you're worrying about it. You do that and you miss the whole point. And you'll never get past it. Because you're always looking for one thing to come out. You're worried about it. The easy answer is you want to figure out what you're worrying about. Isn't that explained? I'm worrying about my job. Like I can keep it, when I lose it. I'm worried because I don't know if I'm or retired. I'm worried because I have a family history of cancer.
Controllable.
It's uncontrollable. You can't do anything about it. It's a lot better than something about it. You see, the central thing to worry is that important. The central thing to worry is the revolution. The revolution that we can control. If only I could get my retirement right, I could control the future. If only I could get my diet or medicine right, I could control this cancer. I would get it. If I could figure out the right childbearing techniques, I can guarantee my child's outcome. I think I am, if I am, if that was the case, and you realize that it's not true, all of you raise your hand. You can dig out your hand. Worry assumes the possibility of control over, this is the same, over the uncontrollable. The illusion of control ends up lurking inside our anxiety. It's an illusion. It's not true. It doesn't work. Anxiety and control are two sides of the same coin. And when we can't control something, we worry. Find somebody who is anxious, and you're often going to find a controller. Find somebody who's a controller, and you're down in your heart, and find somebody who's anxious. Jesus' final comment gives one more reason why to worry. A worry is trying to store up pressure in the wrong place. What you most value is the greater strength that you're setting yourself up for yourself, whether it's money or health. How your children turn out, or building your life on right side. You are building your house on sand. Even if you feel good or everything's going your way, you're building your house on sand. Be wise, be warned. That's what the bottom is like. Your treasure is falling. And whenever what is precious and our temptations and failures, but we can get with our children to warn them. But by having money, then your life can't be unmade by the lack of money. What matters a lot more is thank you.